Today's Easter.
Yes.
And a lot of us grew up with the story of what Easter was about. From the time we were little, we were told that it was about somebody sacrificing their life, the Son of God, so that we could have salvation, dying for our sins. And I was raised Catholic, and so when I was little, we actually would do the Stations of the Cross and go, and they were three-dimensional statues where you could walk behind and see, oh, yeah, there's thorns on the back of the head, too. You know, so you watched this, and you went around. And I was thinking, is there any other time when we would take children around and show them something like that in any other part of our life? If it came on the news, we would reach over and turn it off. We'd protect them. We wouldn't want that story in their head. But a lot of us grew up with the story. And so today is about examining the story one more time, looking at it, and seeing if it's something that it would make sense to either give it a new context or to let it go. So if we saw the story in more of a symbolic way, the whole story in that book, the Bible, if we saw the whole story as our spiritual journey of believing in the beginning that there's something wrong with us, just innately wrong with us, that we're not worthy, we're not good enough, and that we are expelled from all that is that's wonderful and beautiful, and if we are good enough, we could come back in, but not until this sacrifice is complete. Not until something happens within us that changes it and makes it acceptable for us to receive it. So if you look at it, the beginning, the Old Testament, it's definitely about a God outside of us and offering sacrifices outside of us to this God. And then we get to the New Testament, and we've got somebody who's saying, it's within me. That's kind of our own spiritual journey, where we believe there's something outside of us that's acting upon us and judging us. And then, as we evolve, we start to consider, well, you know, it seems to be acting through me. And I seem to be able to establish a personal relationship with this one. And that's totally different. But I keep bouncing outside and inside, throwing God out, throwing God in. And I keep doing that. And the reason I've done it is because it really was kind of like ingrained in me. I was handed a story. I was handed a story, and it's really hard to let go of stories given to you by the big people, by the ones who know best, right? It's hard to let that go. And it's when you're just forming. And even as we say, well, no, I don't believe that anymore. I believe parts of it. It's still, there's a part of us that says, I'm not really worthy. I'm not really good enough just the way I am right now. So as we move along in our journey, we get to decide what story are we going to live in. And actually, Byron Katie said, we do only three things in life. We sit, we stand, we lie horizontal, and the rest is a story. That's what we do. And depending on what story we're living in, that's what our life looks like. And that begs the question, why? Why would the story that we live in affect the quality of our life? Why would that make a difference? Could it be that there's a presence within us, a creative energy, an electrical current, that no matter what we plug into, it will enliven that thing, that story? It enlivens it. It brings it to life. Could it be that that's why, as I evolve and I change up my story, maybe as I love myself more, all of a sudden I have more loving people in my life and I take care, better care of myself? Could there be a correlation that things seem to go easier for me if I say, this is going to go really easy for me? Or if I say, we can get it done, but boy, it's going to take a lot of work. And it does. Or I can't handle this. And you can't. Or it's like, I'm feeling really kind of confident. I know I could do this. And you do. Is there some reason why, as you, the storyteller to yourself, that your experience changes? And is there a reason why when people say to themselves over and over again, the same thing keeps happening to me, I don't know why. Could it be that they're saying the same story over and over again, and that's why? Xander's here. Xanderman. So I was turned on the news today, and they had a lead-in about a new church in New York that's just gone gangbusters, and that it has a different approach. Oh, gosh, I got to see this. And so they do this story, maybe some of you saw it, where it started in an apartment with just a few people in New York. And I thought, I started in my house, okay. And now they have 5,000 people. And I thought, oh, I didn't do that one. I must have done something wrong. So then they show them actually the service, and Justin Bieber is like behind it, and you know all this stuff, you know. And so they got celebrities attached to this now, and so they're showing it, and I realize, oh my gosh, it's the same exact message. The resurrection was about how God had to have His only Son, His only begotten Son, die on the cross for our sins. And everybody was eating it up. The same story. But they had blue jeans on. And a rock band. But it was exactly the same story. And I thought, you know what? There are so many people and places for our victimhood. There's so many places you can go to hear what a worthless sinner you are. Or how much God loves you that He gave up His only Son for you. There's so many places you can hear this. And there's so many places because there's so many people who have adopted that story as their story. That's why. And a belief in good versus evil. And then we say, why does our world look like good versus evil? How could it look any other way? In reality, everybody is living in a story, and their life makes sense for their story. It's as simple as that. It's hard to believe that. But everything in our life makes perfect sense for the story that we live in. So today what I wanted to talk about is, are there some stories that we could possibly let go of? Is there some shedding that we could do? Is there some way that we could resurrect ourselves as we die to our old story and come up stronger and more solid and more complete? And maybe that's the symbolic meaning of a crucifixion, a death, and a resurrection. If you take the story literally, then it means that there was a prophecy where this person was going to die. And in order for that prophecy to be completed, he had to have enemies. Somebody had to want to crucify him. Therefore, it was a totally codependent relationship. You need the person to persecute you. If we believe we're victims, we need abusers. Do you see that? Yes. Because you can't be a victim unless somebody will abuse you. And if it's not going to be an individual, Is it going to be God? Is it going to be what creates all that is going to judge and allow you to live in a place called hell? So that's what I love about Terry Cole Whitaker. She's saying, when you start examining that story and you decide you're going to let go of the aspect of judgment, a judging God, and a hell, all hell breaks loose. It falls apart. It's just like, poof, gone. Why would a creator who can create all that is create creations and then punish the creations in another creation? Does that make sense? Why not just go, you're gone. Adios. You're out of the mind of God. You don't exist. You don't even know you ever existed. Why not that? What's this desire to punish the creation? Do you do that? Do you create from within and decide you're going to punish your own creations? What would love do? What would just pure love do? And it gets as simple as that. So letting go, number one, stories. Who would you be and what could you do without a story that there's something wrong with you? Who would God be? And what could God do in your life without that story? Could you give it up? Could you sacrifice it? Could you let it go and instill and create in your mind another story that resurrects you from a life that you've had? And just keep doing that and just keep letting go of the aspects that aren't loving yourself and serving you, let them go and create a better story all the time. It sounds really difficult, but it really isn't. It really isn't. Because what we're talking about is thin air that finally becomes a physical thing and an experience in front of us. We beat up on ourselves because we don't do things perfectly. We're not perfect. But the only story that ever said we had to be perfect was a human story. It's one that was given to us. You must be perfect. You're not doing it perfectly. Could we let go of the story of imperfection as being a bad thing, but instead imperfection just being part of the experience? How do we learn how to do this life? How do we learn our own spiritual connection except through trial and error? Is there really such a thing as a mistake? Isn't really sin just an archery term that meant you missed the mark? Now try again. Aim again, aim again, aim again. And that's all it is. So one of the things we could consider letting go of today are stories that bring you down, that lower your energy, that lower the God within you down to a physical personality. The past. Could you let go of some past? Some tormentos in your life. Not the mementos, but the tormentos. The things that every time you look at it and every time you think about it brings you down again. Could you let them go? Or do you need them scattered all around you so that every time you walk in, your subconscious mind picks up on it and you feel, ugh. Could you walk through your space and say, I'm only going to have those things around that bring back good memories, that make me feel good. Could I do that for myself? Could I love myself enough for that? Grudges, could I let them go? Could I finally say, I don't need a grudge against this person because that was a perfect match for my story at the time. But I don't live in that story anymore. And they woke me up to the fact that there's a creative energy through me that whatever story, with my free will, whatever story I decide to live in, that's what's going to show up. Thank you, teacher. I'm not going to say that to him verbally. But in my mind, I am, and I'm not going to have a grudge anymore because it made perfect sense and was a perfect match for who I believed I was at the time, which was somebody who wasn't worthy of anything better than that. Regrets. Can I let them go now? Do I believe there's only one opportunity? And then you missed it, it's over now? Can I let go of the fact that I didn't do it perfectly back then, but I learned from it and I'm doing it differently now? And just let go of regrets? If we could do this, we would feel ourselves resurrected. We would feel ourselves rising up. We'd feel better. Guilt. Ooh, that's the heaviest one of all. Guilt. And that's what the original story is built completely around, that we were taught. It doesn't mean that who taught it was right. It just meant that was the story that they knew that they passed along. But we have free will to decide, am I going to live in that story? Or am I going to create a story where what is behind all this thing called life really, truly, truly is love? And I don't have to live in that story of being small anymore. Guilt is when we really, truly believe that we've harmed another person. We believe it. And that works as long as you believe that you are nothing but a physical body and a personality. But if you know that you are spirit, that you are eternal, and so are they, there is nothing you can do to harm that identity, that reality. You cannot harm the essence of what somebody is. Could we let go of the shoulds? Why would, and why wouldn't? We walk around in life going, they really should do that different. Or we say, who would do that? Who would do something like that? You remember, you do that, right? We all do it, right? Is it just me? Oh, shoot. Well, I do it. And when I do it, I go, who would do something like that? And one day I woke up and it's like, the answer is staring you right in the face. It's really not difficult. You don't have to go into psychology. They would. That was the answer. They would. Because the story they're living in, it makes complete sense. Just as the story we live in, it makes complete sense that they wouldn't do that. But for their story, that makes absolute sense. So who would do it? The answer is they would. You're done. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to fix them. You don't have to talk to them about it. You don't have to convince them of something else. You don't have to get them into a program. You don't have to do anything. You just have to understand that's the story they're living in, and that's who did it, and that's okay. I can't change them. If I could, the whole world would look different right now, I assure you. But it doesn't work that way. Why would they? Why wouldn't they? That was the other thing I think. If I was working with somebody, why are they like blowing this off? Why are they not taking this seriously? Why aren't they showing up at the job at the right time, etc.? Really seemed like a very challenging thing to wrap my mind around. The answer was very simple. They don't want to. When you understand that the reason people don't do certain things that you think they should be doing is because they don't want to do them, period. Done. One of the most loving things you can do is tell them you don't have to do this anymore. You don't have to. You can do something else. People do it even in volunteer work. They don't want to do it and they keep coming because they feel guilty if they stop doing it. And so they don't do it well. We get ourselves into jobs that we absolutely hate. And we wonder why we don't have the energy or the enthusiasm to do the job well. There's an authentic part of you, the God self, the one who wants to express fully and completely as you in its most grandest way, that is saying, I don't really want to do this. And I'm not going to give you the energy to do it. But there's something else for you to do, and you'll know because you'll test it out, and the energy is going to be there for you. And then you're going to like, whew, energy is going to go up. Life's going to get a lot easier for you. And finally, to let go of the hows. So when we decided, hey, what else would I love to do? Who would I love to be with? What would I like to be around? But not being specific, not saying, that's who I want in my life. That person right there. That job right there. That home right there. Not saying that, but saying what I would like to feel. I would like to feel in a relationship as if I was in a partnership and we loved to do stuff and we laughed and we had friends, da da da. I would love to travel. I would love to live in beauty. I would love to live simply. Whatever it is you would love to have happen. You just get yourself in that higher vibration of imagining what that would be. You take it up to heaven, and then you allow God, presence, creative energy, spirit, whatever you want to call it, to do its work. Because our only job is to live in stories and to create the best story we can create and to begin creating a story that works for us and for everyone, everywhere. And we haven't really spent a lot of energy on that. Thank you very much.